You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and helpful, our strength, our wisdom, and our Redeemer.
Our words of wisdom are from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, the Voice version. Two prostitutes visited Solomon asking for a judgment.
My lord, she and I live under the same roof. She was in the house when my child was born. 3 days after my child was born, she had her own child. She and I were alone in the house with our newborns. One night, her baby died because she lay on it during her sleep. She woke up, and after seeing her dead baby, she stole my baby out of my arms while I was sleeping and placed her dead baby in my arms. When I woke up the next morning to feed my son, I found him dead. When I took a closer look at him, I saw that it was not the same child who came from my womb.
She lies. My son is alive and her son is dead.
She lies. Her son is dead and my son is alive.
This woman says, my son is alive and your son is dead. The other woman says, my son is alive and your son is dead. Bring me a sword, cut the living child in half, and give each woman one of the halves.
The woman, who truly was the mother of the living child, was overcome with compassion and pleaded with the king.
Please don't cut the child in half. Just give the whole child to her. Please do not kill him.
Nonsense. The child will belong to neither one of us. Cut him in half.
The living child belongs to the first woman. Give the boy to her and do not harm him. She is the true mother.
When the news of the king's wise judgment spread throughout Israel, they all feared him. They respected him because they perceived God's wisdom in his just judgment. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to venture that most of you here have either had a baby or have been a baby, although you probably don't remember being a baby. Babies come in those cute, cuddly, helpless packages that help us fall in love with them so that we couldn't possibly throw them out when they're in the terrible twos or rebellious teens. This is an ideal situation, a baby wanted, a baby loved. The Bible doesn't say a lot about babies, as they, along with the women, were considered property. But some babies were boys, and sons were named and treasured. But we do have a few passages that help us see the wonder and value of new human life. Psalm 139, 13 to 15. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, where I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Psalm 127, verse 3 reminds us that children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from God. And Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Today's scripture lesson, done so well by our Readers Theater group, could be an example of Law and Order, Judean Infant Unit, one of the Bible's dramatic courtroom dramas featuring sex workers, grief, deception, and near baby sacrifice. The story of King Solomon and the two mothers is a well-known biblical account found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. In this story, two women come to King Solomon, each claiming to be the mother of the same baby. To determine the true mother, Solomon proposes to cut the baby in half and give each woman half of the child. The real mother immediately offers to give up her claim to save the child's life, revealing her identity as the true mother. Solomon then awards her custody of her child, demonstrating his wisdom in discerning the truth. Charles Stanley tells us that the wisdom of Solomon reminds us that true wisdom often comes from empathy. It's not just about making a decision based on facts. It's about understanding the heart of the matter. And Joyce Myers tells us that in cases of deep emotional conflict, we see that love can lead to wisdom. Solomon teaches us that sometimes the right choice is the one that helps to heal the deepest hurts. And Max Lucado, through the story of the two mothers, we learn that discernment and compassion often go hand in hand. It's essential to listen carefully and choose wisely. Not every baby comes into this world into an ideal situation, to a loving family, prepared to care for all their child's needs into adulthood. Some of you may know that I volunteer at Hushabye Nursery in Phoenix. It's a 12-room nursery for newborns and their mothers going through NAS, neonatal abstinence syndrome. And it's no secret that I love babies. My volunteer title is Volunteer Cuddler. How did I get to be so lucky? But these babies are not sleepy newborns. They are cranky and miserable because they are going through withdrawal from the opioids taken by their mothers while they were pregnant. Infant withdrawal symptoms include high-pitched cries, tremors, panting, difficulty settling down, difficulty eating and sleeping, and tummy upsets. As the drugs leave their body, it leaves some of the worst diaper rash I have ever seen. These babies are genuinely miserable. As a volunteer cuddler, I rock and pat the baby in a dark, quiet room. The goal is to get the baby to sleep. So we soothe by tightly swaddling, rocking, shushing, offering a pacifier, and singing. The Hushabye program also works with the mother and additional family members in a non-judgmental way. They teach parents a more healthy lifestyle and have support groups and social workers who help get the parents the needed services to be successful. This program, with the nurses, staff, and volunteers, is love in action. Every mother has a story. Although some of the moms at Hushabye are there because of street drugs, others were prescribed narcotics by their doctors. About 75% of the babies go home with their families. Some of the babies go into foster care system, and others are adopted. I was prepared to rock the babies. What I hadn't counted on was that sometimes the mother is in the room or comes in. After congratulating her on her new baby, sometimes they share their stories. I have had the privilege of listening to some of the parents' stories while holding their infants. Feeling judged and ashamed is one of the barriers for moms needing help. In 4.5 years, Hushabye has given help and support to over 1,000 babies and their families to help them get a good start in life. In fact, the Fountains, 23 of us, took a field trip to visit Hushabye last year. We took baby things like diapers, wipes, toys, blankets, baby books that we collected to support the infants. I want to share a few stories with you that I hope will help you understand the complexities of circumstance of the babies and families. Each family has a unique story. I visited with a mom who had been assaulted 5 years earlier. She was in constant pain and given opioids by her doctor and then found out she was pregnant. I visited with a grandmother who came to see her newborn grandson, but will never be able to see him again or be a part of his life because the mother and her son are not in a position to raise this baby. I love the dad who talked softly and sang to his twin daughters. And then there was the nursery star diva, My Love. My Love was her name. It was spelled M'LOVE. She was quite the diva. She cried constantly. And we, as the staff, tried so many things to help relieve her cries. I hope she enjoyed her treatment because she was going home to 5 siblings. But my favorite story is about the twins that came to the nursery, and their names were Jesse and James. You know, like the outlaws, Jesse James. So first of all, we saw this young, handsome, exuberant dad come in to be with these babies, and he flirted with the nurses and he was energetic. And one day I was feeding Jesse and he came in and he says, "Oh, Jesse, you better drink up. Your brother James in the room, next room, has taken more ounces than you." And I said, "Boy, setting up the competition really early." He said, "Yep." And he disappeared and went into the room to see his other baby. A couple of minutes later, a very quiet, shy, also handsome, redheaded young man came in and started talking to the baby in a very nurturing way. He said, "We're going to get you two boys back together again. We're going to have you sleep in the same crib." And then I knew these two dads were going to be taking these babies home. They stayed with us for a while, about 6 weeks, because the boys had to be healthy enough to fly home to North Carolina. I love this story because they thought they were getting one baby and they ended up with two. Please do not think I am crazy for doing this cuddling work. Are you kidding? I love holding and cuddling the babies. I tell them, "I got you." I hold them tight and close to my heart because I don't want them to go through this misery all alone. When the baby settles and sleeps, I pray for the baby, the family, and the work that Hushabye does. I call it Prayers from a Rocking Chair. It's my quiet time for reflection. But other times, I am exhausted from constantly bouncing and shushing a wiggly, restless baby. I actually get steps on my Fitbit for enthusiastic padding or rocking. One of my methods for getting a baby to sleep is a method that has been used by mothers from the beginning of human reproduction all over the world, singing a lullaby to their baby. I wrote these words to the beloved lullaby tune written by Brahms. "Hushabye and good night. Go to sleep, little wee one." Sometimes I put the baby's name in there. "May you rest from all care And my love I will share. In my arms you belong, to protect you from harm. In my arms you belong, to protect you from harm. As I am holding a sleeping baby, my thoughts turn to this new life in my arms and the potential for this little human. I love the quote by Carl Sandburg, "A baby is God's opinion that the world should go on." Caring for infants is a perfect example of how to put love first, our mission statement here at the Fountains. Because if you don't put them first, infants will cry and scream and let you know that you need to put them first. Caring for infants is loving and caring without expecting anything in return. Our church family got to be a part of a special baptism last week when Corey and Seth had their four-month-old baby Christopher baptized. Big brother Will looked on with pride. As part of the baptism ceremony, Christopher's parents, his family, and our church family pledged to do all we can to help Christopher know God and know his love and to help him walk in the way of Jesus. As I look around our congregation, we may not have many infants directly in our lives, but you may have children and grandchildren. I want to challenge you to make glad the hearts of the children in your life. I want to challenge you to support children to grow strong and healthy. Children are our future generation. Teach them to love and know God. Teach the children in your life to love and serve others by working at a food pantry or a walk that donates funds for a homeless shelter. Invite the children in your life to shop for school supplies for kids who cannot afford them. Kids will learn kindness and empathy by seeing it demonstrated by you. Oh yes, those little eyes are watching. And we can learn so much from them. Curiosity, excitement, spontaneous laughter, and a sense of wonder. My message would not be complete if I didn't offer some kind of challenge and opportunities. Here's a love in action plan. Offer to babysit. Support Planned Parenthood and reproductive health. Be a mentor in your local school for a child. Volunteer at a children's hospital or crisis nursery. And if you don't like children, donate to causes that will support mothers and children in tough situations. And if you would like to donate directly to Hushabye Nursery, the baby items, I would be happy to take those down for them. The most needed items are newborn diapers, wipes, and stretchy swaddle blankets. Our stream of thought today comes from Albert Einstein. He said, "Do not grow old, no matter how long you live. Never cease to stand like curious children before the great mystery into which we were born. The pursuit of truth and beauty is a sphere of activity in which we are permitted to remain children all our lives." Loving children will keep you young and exhausted. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.